Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen.
As we consider the collect, the epistle, and the gospel readings appointed for this first Sunday in Advent, the common theme makes it very clear that we are at the beginning of a new church year. In our collect this morning, we petition God that we may cast away the works of darkness and put upon us the armor of light. In our epistle, we heard the words of St. Paul telling us that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the words of our gospel declare the truth, that there is a new king in Jerusalem, Jesus Christ. As our Lord triumphantly entered the city, a great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And those that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. A new year, a new beginning, a new king. This morning, each one of us, in one way or another, must come to understand that now it is time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Can you hear the urgency in the words of St. Paul? We must awake out of sleep. We must rid ourselves of imperfect or lukewarm Christianity and seek the genuine Christian life, the life that is like a man whose eyes are wide open and who is in every sense ready to complete the task set before him. It is high time for those who call themselves Christians to wake up, to be more like Christ. But on second thought, perhaps wording it that way sets the bar too low. On this first Sunday in Advent, the words of St. Augustine sound much more appropriate because he went well beyond exhorting people to be more like Christ when he said, Let us rejoice then and give thanks that we have become not only Christians, but Christ himself. Do you understand and grasp, brethren, God's grace toward us? Marvel and rejoice. We have become Christ. Now that is a quote and a resolution for the new Christian year. A resolution that if we shared it with the world, would sound absolutely foolish. But I ask you, why would we resolve to be anything less than Christ himself? For we know that Christ is the head of his body, which is the church. Christ is the head. We are the members. He and we together are the whole man. In the same way that our head directs our body, Christ is the head of the church, and he directs his body. Every member guiding us all. Christ and his church are one as we strive to continue his redemptive and sanctifying work in this world. And the words of our Lord found in the gospel according to St. John speak of that unity. It was there that Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. A member of the human body can do nothing unless it is connected to the head. Our human body is one body because every member shares that common connection. If that connection is lost, we're going to lose the ability to feel. We'll lose the ability to move. and in the most severe cases, we'll lose a member of our body completely. Jesus spoke of that truth when he said, "If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them into the fire and they're burned." Apart from the vine, a branch is good for nothing. Apart from the human body, an arm, a leg, or any other member is good for nothing. But when they are one, there's no limit to what they could accomplish. So these words of Jesus are the key. Without me, you can do nothing. We will never understand and grasp God's grace toward us apart from Christ. We will never truly live without Christ. For without him, we can do nothing. So we must learn how to recognize him and be certain that he is at the center of everything we do. Perhaps the most important lesson in Advent is how to recognize our Lord. And the readings through this season are all about signs that point to Christ. In the coming weeks, you're going to hear about signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. We will hear about signs made manifest in his miraculous works. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And finally, just before Christmas Day, we're going to hear from John the Baptist. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Make straight the way of the Lord." This is all yet to come. But this morning, we begin the season of Advent with this sign, the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. St. Matthew tells us, "All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, sitting upon a donkey and a colt, the foal of a donkey." How are we to recognize Jesus? Well, in the coming weeks, it's not going to be difficult to see him as Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the conquering King of the New Jerusalem, because we're going to hear about accounts of unimaginable miracles and prophecies of men's hearts failing them for fear as they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But that's not how we recognize him today. Today, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords comes to us riding on a donkey. As he entered Jerusalem, our Lord came in humility. He was not crowned as king for all to see, yet many of the people there recognized him. They hailed him as the Son of David who comes in the name of the Lord. They used the word Hosanna to proclaim the truth that this is the Son of God, the Messiah who has come to save his people from their sins. Their recognition of him was only by the grace of God. It was truly a miracle because our Lord came in such a state of humility. He did not reveal his full glory as God in human flesh. He did not completely exercise his majestic power. He appeared in so many ways to be an ordinary man. He came to his own in the most humble way. Now our Savior is no longer in that state of humility. He now exercises his power and manifests his glory throughout the universe. But still, he chooses to come to us in humble ways. He comes to us riding on a donkey. Do we recognize him? It can be difficult because man looks on the outward appearance. We see the donkey and we fail to recognize the presence of our Lord. Our arrogant, sinful flesh doesn't want to see him in that state. And so we come to his house on Sunday morning and we look for him in full regalia, in polished brass and the finest linens, or in the pageantry of a procession. But what did Jesus say to those who failed to recognize him in the least of these? He said, "I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not." Those were the words of our Lord to all those who failed to recognize him in the common, humble needs of their neighbor. Those were the words of our Lord to people who certainly worshiped him in formal worship services. But they failed to recognize him and they failed to worship him in their daily life. The Lord comes to us every day in the least of these, our brethren. He comes to us riding on a donkey. And you know, even here in his house on Sunday morning, he chooses humility. Our Lord is here today, common, humble, lowly to our eyes in bread and wine, his precious body and blood. Again, the maker of heaven and earth chooses humility. He doesn't opt for luxury, decadence, or status. We don't indulge on champagne and caviar, but on something as common as bread and wine. Yet, by the grace of God and the power of his Holy Spirit, just like that crowd that recognized him 2,000 years ago, we recognize him this morning. And by faith, with thanksgiving, we receive him in these common elements. "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee meek." Our king rode into Jerusalem in humility. Our king came to be crowned with thorns. Our king came to be mocked, to be treated shamefully, and to be executed as a criminal. Our king came to suffer and die. And our king came to conquer death, to rise to new life, and to ascend to the right hand of the Father, that he may offer his free gift of forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life to all who recognize him. Dear Lord, may we be those who recognize you this day in these most humble ways. May we receive you today in something as common and ordinary as bread and wine. And may we rejoice and give thanks that we have become not only Christians, but Christ himself. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.
Amen.